Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Billie Jean King.
This is Marion Bartoli.
I'm Mats Wilander.
This is Mary Carillo.
I'm Stan Wawrinka.
I'm Leighton Hewitt.
This is Yannick Noah, and you're listening to the Tennis Podcast.
So that was Not So Manic Tuesday. Seeing as this went so well yesterday, I thought we'd revisit finding an adjective beginning with T to describe today's play. Matt, David, how would you describe women's quarterfinals day in a word beginning with T?
Tense.
Tense Tuesday, Matt?
No, it wasn't even tense.
It was
tepid.
Yeah.
I mean, the weather wasn't tepid, but the tennis was quite tepid.
I'm afraid I would agree with Matt. At what point were you tense today, David?
When I was racing to try to get undercover because there was a storm about to come over.
I was very much getting at the tennis.
Yeah.
When I
you see, you put me on the spot.
Tell you what I'm going to do, David, is tomorrow think of adjectives beginning with W.
Yes, I think that's something that I'm learning here, Matt, is that I've gone 2 days in a row and I really should have figured that out.
Matt, why was it tepid?
It was tepid because, let's be honest, none of the women's quarterfinals today were fantastic matches. I think there were some great performances. I think Aryna Sabalenka in particular was very, very impressive. Ash Barty gave her best performance of the tournament, I think. Kerber did what she's been doing all tournament. And Pliskova was excellent as well. So lots of great performances, and we have a fantastic semi-final lineup. But they're all straight set matches without much tension.
Can I rescue my tense Tuesday description? Really, for the players that didn't win today, there was some tension on show, actually. And I wasn't actually getting that. I was just trying to find a word beginning with T. But when I think back to it now, I look at them, and this is what frustrates me so much, that we get to quarterfinal stages and it isn't elevated to best of five. It's why I so much wish that happened on men's and women's side, is that you just don't have the time to rescue your nerves, your lack of form in the early stages, and there was too much of that. Now, they could have all ended up in straight sets. I don't believe that would have happened.
And the fact that the players know that they don't have the time doubles down on it, I think. They're the sort of, oh my God, I'm not playing my best, I'm nervous, I can't move properly, and then you sort of panic about the fact that that's happening.
Yeah,
so it all kind of spirals.
And it's the women's game that ends up getting the raw end of the deal, because my niece, for instance, came to watch today. She got tickets for Court 1 and she's chuffed to be here. She got them last night. She'd never been to Wimbledon before. I saw her, gave her a tour of the grounds. It was lovely to see her. And then
you still described your day as tense.
Well, it was when I was coming back from that tour that I suddenly started to see this storm coming in. Anyway, but the fact of the matter is that people go away from a day like today and they say, oh, I much prefer the men's game because that's best of five and you get much more, you know. And I'm thinking, well, no, the women's game is so good right now, they're just not being given enough time to show it. And it frustrates me enormously.
I agree with all of that wholeheartedly.
Full house. Yep, yeah, well said.
If which of the four women's quarterfinals that we saw today, I know we've got a bonus ball, her catch win to deal with, or the latter stages thereof. Which of the four women's quarterfinals today were least affected by what you describe, by the less experienced player being addled by nerves and tension?
I'd probably say the Ons Jabeur match. And I didn't see all of the other matches because I completed the men's match in commentary, and then I came back and I commentated on Tomljanovic and Barty. And actually, that match, we'll come to it later, but that was just a class difference, really, yeah. between mm-hmm. the
Absolutely.
Two. I didn't think that was about nerves. That's about Barty just being a nightmare for an opponent like Tomljanovic. But from what I saw, Onsjabur came out and took on Sabalenka, and Sabalenka has figured out a way to put her tour game on the stage of a slam this fortnight. And she put Wuhan and Madrid on this centre court.
Wuhambledon, you say, David?
Yes.
Yes.
I find that exciting.
For people that hate that nickname, we say it quite a lot, don't we? Wuhambledon.
Yes, we do. It is such a game changer if Sabalenka has cracked slams. Like a total game changer.
Everyone else is disappointed with this turn of events.
We still think we don't know until she's won one or gone all the way.
Yeah, we need
more data.
But for
somebody that hadn't reached a quarter final even, David.
Definite progress. Massive
yeah,
step.
Yeah, and it really felt like getting over the fourth round hurdle was the barrier broken today, because there was no sense of, oh, well, this is my first Grand Slam quarter final. Maybe there's going to be some pressure there. It was like she was released.
Yeah.
And
Jabeur was good today, I thought.
Jabeur was very good, particularly in the first set. She served wonderfully and really kept Sabalenka at bay. And then just Sabalenka timed her brilliant returning game to perfection to break for the first set, and then went up a break in the second set. And if there was any wobble at all, it was there where she lost the break immediately, Sabalenka. But it didn't last, and she kept her foot on the pedal and was just bludgeoning the tennis ball. I mean, Onsjabur is a powerful player. I mean, she's got lots of other elements to her game, and I think the court craft is what most commentators will pick up on with her. But she's got plenty of power herself, and she was on the back foot against Sabalenka all match. It was an awesome performance.
Wow. See, I'd said she's put her tour form on this court, but I hadn't seen it closely enough to be able to. I've watched a lot of her really close up when she's playing that well. Sounds like she was then.
Completely dialed in. I don't think Jabeur will have any regrets about today. I mean, okay, that there were a few more unforced errors in the second set, but that's because she had been playing well in the first set and it hadn't been enough. So you start thinking, oh my gosh, what extra can I do? And pulling yourself out of your comfort zone. So I wouldn't look at that as evidence of her not having played well. The returns from Sabalenka, you know, I've been really struck by the Jabeur serve this tournament. It's a far bigger weapon than I can ever remember it being. And Sabalenka, once she zoned in, and was picking the serve, it was breathtaking watching those returns. It looked like a drill. It looked like a drill for her. It was, and the focus didn't waver. She looked like a different animal, really. And she is, let's face it, heavy favourite to reach the final now. She'll face Pliskova in the semis. And I know this is a huge moment for Karolina Pliskova. And if this had happened 3 years ago, we'd be saying, right, it's finally happening for Pliskova. This is surely the moment she breaks down the barriers and is unleashed in some way. But I, you know, yesterday we talked about Sabalenka being, I think Matt said, Sabalenka is probably the best player on tour now not to have won a slam. And that went uncontested by all of us, didn't it? We all nodded our assent to that statement. And it was probably a year, 18 months ago that unanimously Pliskova was that woman.
Yeah. I mean, Sabalenka isn't the player with the best, most complete tennis CV that doesn't include a slam. Mm. I think that probably would be Pliskova. And I think Alina Svitolina would have a strong case as well. But it just feels like Sabalenka has got a higher peak than those two players. Certainly as you said, in the last year, 18 months, she's stepped up on the tour and just hasn't been able to transfer it to the slams, but is doing so now. Must say, I thought Pliskova was excellent today. I thought it was the best I've seen her play in a long, long time. It felt like she was on a real mission to finish that match as ruthlessly as she possibly could, and she did. 6-2, 6-2, one lengthy game in the second set, I think at 4-2, where she had to fend off quite a few break points. And look, Golubic, I thought, did all the right things.
Player to watch.
Lovely player to watch. She tried to get Pliskova moving, but actually Pliskova's footwork and defensive skills were pretty impressive today. She came up with some brilliant shots from difficult positions.
For Pliskova, she looked quite lively, didn't she?
Yes.
It's rare you describe Pliskova as lively, but she did. She looked sort of animated.
She's giving,
is that ludicrous
she's
to say?
She's giving good interviews, by the way. I've noticed.
Oh, she is chippy about her court assignments up to this point.
Oh, really?
She actually said it in her post-match interview on the court. She said, this is the first time I've had the chance to play on this court, this tournament. She's still not been able to play on centre. So I'm just pleased I was able to put in a good performance. And then she made the point again in post-match press about... I mean, she went a lot further, in fact, in post-match press, didn't she?
Yeah, she joked about, well, I'm in the semi-finals now. You can put me on court 12.
Yeah,
that's good.
And then she also mentioned the fact that today was the first time she'd been in the main interview room for her press conference.
I did joke a few days ago, what will Pliskova, when I was looking through the WhatsApp group that informs us when players are coming to press and where they're going, I saw her heading into room 47 or something, and I said, oh, what will Karolina Pliskova have to do to get in the main room? Semi-final? Turns out semi-final is the answer.
I have a beam on bonnet generally about the women not getting the treatment they deserve. I don't have a great deal of sympathy specifically for Karolina Pliskova.
I agree.
That's what we said.
Agree, because she has been given high court assignments on the past on the basis of coming in as a contender, having won Eastbourne, or shown great grass court form, or reached a semi-final at the French Open, or being one of the world's top three tennis players, and she has completely flattered to deceive and not lived up to that. So I completely understand being a bit gun-shy with Pliskova about putting her on the big stage. She's cried wolf so many times. So, yeah, I mean, across the board, the women should have better billing, but I don't see it as a Karolina Pliskova specific issue.
What I do like about her, though, is if you ask her a bit of a different type of question. I heard one interview today, I think, on the BBC. They asked her about the origins of her tattoos or something like that, and she really engages with that sort of thing. You know, she doesn't just flat bat it away. She gives you chapter and verse, and I like that. I think good for her that she's managed to get into this position. She really does look the part this fortnight. Now, there is a chance that she shows us something, a bit like some of the other players we've talked about in the men's draw, like Shapovalov and people like that. Okay, he's a lot younger, but this might be a new stage that she's overcome whatever's held her back. I personally think it's all on Sabalenka. If Sabalenka plays the tennis she can, I think Pliskova is going to be too late on her shots. She's going to not be able to cope with that power.
I agree.
And that'll be that.
Did Pliskova get broken today? Because she came into the match not having broken all tournament, Pliskova. And I don't think she got broken today.
Well, she hadn't lost a set all tournament. I think she'd only
been broken three times.
A few times.
She'd been broken three times.
Yeah. It feels like Sabalenka is an upgrade on Pliskova. I think a few years ago we would have really thought of Pliskova as someone who is kind of the most powerful player on WTA Tour.
On her racket.
On her racket, matches she can control them. Mm. And yet even we say whole, all those things now about Sabalenka.
Even the whole unable to peak at a slam thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. It feels like an accident that Pliskova's peaked at this slam, because she didn't win a match coming in, did she? She hadn't won a match on grass. Mm. So it was like she was always going to peak at her next tournament, but it just happened to be a slam. Perhaps if she'd had a run at one of the lead-in tournaments, she would have lost second round here.
Yeah, I do think that the going under the radar thing has helped her.
Yeah, mm. for sure.
I also think this is where Sasha Bajin may come into his own, because I think he's a really good hitting partner from what I've heard. And he can probably do a decent impersonation of Sabalenka on the practice court to just try to get her ready for it. There's still nothing like facing it in the bare pit of a centre court or whatever. Well, it's going to be centre court, isn't it? With Sabalenka's...
Her first time on centre court. She'll make a chippy point about that, I'm sure.
With Sabalenka's sheer fury, the way she goes for you, she's, you know, they're so different in their outward behaviour that, I don't know, the sheer force of nature that Sabalenka is, I find would be probably terrifying to face.
Mm. It does feel like a matter of the extent to which Sabalenka shows up and plays the tennis she's played up to this point, for sure. And I think she will.
It'd be great if it was good.
I think she will. I think she is liberated.
I'd love it if these two semi-finals could be what they're capable of being.
Yeah. Well, famous last words here, and obviously I'm jinxing it, and this is a terrible thing for me to say on this podcast, but I see very little chance of the other semi-final being a disappointment.
I've heard that so many times on this podcast.
Kerber against Barty, come on.
If it's not, if that's a squib of the damp kind, then...
Is there any other kind?
Something is wrong with the universe.
Yeah.
I just can't see it.
I mean, Kerber is perhaps not so much today, but just a recipe for good matches, I think. And Barty is a wonderful... They are wonderful foils to one another. They've got a very even head-to-head, which it's very difficult to read too much into, because
what is it?
The past 3 years of their respective careers have been going in opposite directions. 3-2?
Yeah, 3-2 to Kerber. But I think their most recent match was at the 2019 Hopman Cup. So as Catherine says, since then, Kerber's been falling down the rankings and Barty's ascended to world number one. But that just makes me more excited to see it, because it feels like those are two of the most, you know, impactful players on the WTA Tour over the past decade or so. And to have not seen them both play each other at their peak is a shame. But I think we're going to get that on Thursday. I cannot wait. And I think it's on the surface which suits both of their games the best, really.
In very different ways, because Kerber's, you know, at the back of the court, mostly hitting the ball as hard as she can and working the angles and doing that thing where she crouches down and hits the ball from sort of a squat position, which she somehow manages to make look elegant. And no matter how far pulled wide she is, she manages to hit more than a defensive shot. She manages to sort of gain control of rallies whilst seemingly pulled out of court. Whereas Ash Barty's game suits the grass in a completely different kind of more balletic, traditional way, I suppose, with her slicing and dicing and tactical game. I really think it's going to be a joy. I do. I know you. I'm doubling down on the jinxing, but I think it's going to be wonderful.
It's what this podcast does.
Yeah, they were both so good today, and they both have been there and done it before. I don't see either of them faltering on the stage or under the spotlight. I think
they're going to bring it.
They're both going to bring it.
Yeah, and I think Kerber got a very small taste today of some of the problems she'll come up against against Barty in Karolina Mukova today, because look, Mukova is not as good as Barty yet. She might well get there, but she does cause some similar problems. She has a similar-ish style of play. In particular, she's got a nice slice backhand. And there were moments towards the end of this match when Kerber was trying to serve it out where that slice backhand was causing Kerber some problems. Mm. So I'm fascinated by how that matchup goes on Thursday. And in general, I think Kerber likes pace. I think she likes being fed pace that she can deflect and move around the court, and I think Barty will deny her that. It will be all about court craft.
The rallies could be they joyous.
Could be sensational.
I've got Cerebes Tormo Kerber.
Yes,
I'm coming in on the jinx train, Catherine. Come on.
I mean, similar with Ash Barty today. She was a class apart, wasn't she? I mean, perhaps Tomljanovic didn't produce her absolute best, but I don't think it was about the stage.
I thought she did a good job.
She came out and held to love in the opening game.
The fact that she made that second set close for a bit, you know, and got it back to... At one point, she was 4-1 points for 5-1 down, and she got it back to 4-3. And I thought, actually, you know what? That's a blooming good job, that. She was helped by Barty hitting four double faults in the second set. But there was a moment where the presenter of Five Live's coverage, Tony Livesey, who doesn't do tennis year-round at all. I mean, he's a very general presenter. He's really good. He's really good at dialing into Wimbledon and then trying to learn about the sport on behalf of the listeners through people like me and through the really good pundits.
He really is.
People who do the sport all the time. But he just drew a little parallel for us between Tomljanovic and Raducanu last night, in as much as he was worried that Tomljanovic would be marked by this scoreline that we had of 6-1, 4-1, points for 5-1. And, I mean, obviously I've got more experience of her, and I feel she's a pretty seasoned player now, and she's had really tough losses in the past, and she's bounced back, and she's built a really good career. But my response to that was, this is not about Tomljanovic throwing in a dud of a performance or freezing or anything. This is more comparable to watching Roger Federer or Novak Djokovic playing at the peak of their powers. That is what we're looking at with Barty in that sort of form. She should be held up as a performer who gets a standing ovation three times at the end of a theatre performance. You know, it's that kind of thing. She's got so much control over the tennis ball. It's mesmerising, really.
Yeah, I thought she really found her forehand today. The way she was pulling Tomljanovic over the court with that shot and just seemingly could end the point at will with it, whether it was a hook cross court or a bigger one down the line. She just had it all. I think she was in double figures for forehand winners today. And I think so often we can talk about Barty's game being really complex, and it can be. She's got lots of different ways to win points, but today it just seemed really clinical.
She understands her game more than ever now.
Totally. Mm. Get the ball on the forehand, finish the point. That's kind of what she did today, I thought, you know, in really basic terms, and such a route to success for her. Yeah, I thought best performance of the week for her. She stepped up with every match, and if she steps up again, going to join the hype train.
Yeah!
Bring on Thursday.
Can I give you another little Federer comparison, just in the way she carries herself in her post-match interviews now? She's got that slightly furrowed brow of amusement at how good she is and how great it all is as well. How she seems to be enjoying the sport and the trappings and the lifestyle and the travel and the everything about it in a way that I don't remember her looking before. She always used to look like she was doing a job and looking forward to getting home. Now she still describes herself as a home bod, but she seems to be loving the sport.
She's finding a way to make it work, isn't she? She says she FaceTimes her nieces and nephews morning and night, which must be, you know, just lovely. I'm totally putting words in her mouth now, but my experience of lockdown is that you can actually make yourself talk to your family more than you know, I ended up, we set an appointment every week to FaceTime as a family.
Oh, nice.
And, you know, we didn't have an appointment every week to all meet up and talk about absolute nonsense and do a crap quiz. You know, I don't know. I know she lives closer to her sister, doesn't she? And maybe that's not the case for her, but, you know, what a lovely grounding thing to have that kind of routine. And yeah, she is a joy. And I'm telling you, that match is going to be a joy. And podcasts can be deleted from the internet. So,
so this is only up for covered. 48 hours.
Get in there quick, folks.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, Tennis Podcast listeners. David here. Now, you might know that I love a bit of cooking, and I think I'm quite good at it. But if I'm honest, even I get fed up trying to work out what to do every night. That's where Home Chef comes in. Being able to put together a delicious meal without the long prep and the cook times, well, that's pretty cool. Home Chef provides fresh ingredients and chef-designed recipes conveniently delivered to your doorstep to simplify your cooking experience. They have over 30 options a week and serve a variety of dietary needs, so you don't have to worry about what to make ahead of time. Not only is it convenient, but it's economical too. Home Chef customers save an average of $86 per month on groceries. Now, for a limited time, Home Chef is offering Tennis Podcast listeners 18 free meals plus free dessert for life and, of course, free shipping on your very first box. Go to homechef.com/tennis. That's homechef.com/tennis for 18 free meals and free dessert for life. You heard it right.
Right then, you mentioned Emma Raducanu there, David, who obviously Tommy Yanovich beat yesterday by virtue of Raducanu's retirement, something which is, look, I knew it was going to be a big story, and I knew last night when we were recording the podcast that the absence of a statement from Raducanu, which I completely understand, but I did, you know, speculation and opinion was going to fill that vacuum. I still have been taken aback by the extent to which that has been the case today, in all honesty. But a statement did come through from Emma Raducanu mid-afternoon today saying, "Hi guys, I wanted to let everyone know that I'm feeling much better this morning. First up, I want to congratulate Isla on an incredible performance and I'm sorry our match ended the way it did. I was playing the best tennis of my life in front of an amazing crowd this week and I think the whole experience caught up with me. At the end of the first set, after some super intense rallies, I started to breathe heavily and felt dizzy. The medical team advised me not to continue, and although it felt like the hardest thing in the world not to be able to finish my Wimbledon on the court, I was not well enough to carry on. I want to thank the people who've cheered me on every single match. I wanted to win so badly for you. I also want to thank the All England Club, my team, the LTA, my parents and friends. Last night will go a long way to helping me learn what it takes to perform at the top. I will cherish everything we've achieved together this week and come back stronger. Can't wait to see what's next on my journey, Emma." And she also did an interview via Zoom from her hotel with Sue Barker on BBC television today, where she didn't say much more than was in that statement, but she did seem to be okay. And I was personally so relieved to see that, because I was so genuinely worried by some of the things I saw on Twitter today. I managed to get myself involved in a Twitter spat with Kevin Peterson because I was so upset by something he had to say. And I, you know, I know that that is a counterproductive thing to do, to get involved in these things. And I've changed my approach to Twitter in the last couple of years to try and not express my anger. It's not that I don't get angry, folks. But, you know, the best way to deal with idiocy, certainly on that platform, I think, is with a lighter touch and with humour. And that also is a more sort of self-preserving approach as well, in respect of one's own mental health. But I was so upset by some of the stuff about Emma Raducanu on Twitter today that, and I just, sorry, I've somehow managed to make this about me, apologies, but I just kept picturing her seeing it, you know, and I'm sure she's got great people around her. I'm sure she's being shielded from some of it to an extent, but we're talking high profile people here. She'll be seeing this stuff, and this could hang around her neck for a long time. And ex-athletes, people that, you know, seemingly have some gravitas and some weight in this department, just dismissing her is unacceptable. And I know there's good stuff out there about her as well, understanding, compassionate, kind stuff. But if she's listening, she's not. But ignore them. Ignore them because they're irrelevant, because firstly they're wrong, and secondly, even if they're right about their own experience is out of date. The world has changed and is changing. It's still got a way to go, but it's changing in respect of understanding and expressing mental health. You know, look at Andy Murray. How many times have we seen him cry on the court and manage emotions? It's not that. The toxic masculinity approach of, if your emotions are getting to you, you're weak. It's all gone. It's gone and it's going. And the people expressing that kind of stuff are total dinosaurs. And you're 18 years old, and they'll be nobodies for most of your career. So ignore them.
Well said. I love it. Yeah. Couldn't agree more. And look, people experience things in different ways, and trying to impose your career and your experiences on someone else is just wrong. And you just got to get involved in a conversation. You don't have to. Just piss off. And look, Emma Raducanu, I think her statement's great. I love it. And, you know, it sounds like her. She said ticked a few of the boxes you have to tick as well, but she's getting good support, I think, and I think people know what the situation would have been, and it's ridiculous what she's done over the last week. None of us saw this coming. None of the people, even the people who got her the wild card, even Nigel Sears wouldn't have expected, I don't think, quite this degree of run. He knows how good she is. He's been saying it for years. But to do it out of the blocks like that, the young woman has not even had a career yet. She's barely a pro. She's not even on the tour yet. And yet she's in the last 16 of Wimbledon with people like us saying she could win the match. And that's how good she is. But this is fine, as long as she can just find her own way how to deal with whatever's required along the way. And and I believe she can do that.
Well, so does Marcus Rashford. And I think if you've got Marcus Rashford on your side, then you're the right side of history and morality. He said to her today after her statement, he said, "It happened to me playing for the national team in under-16s against Wales. I remember it to this day. No explanation for it, and it never happened again. You should be very proud of yourself. The country is proud of you. Glad to read you're feeling better. Onwards and upwards."
I love that guy.
Oh,
yeah.
He gives me hope, the way that, I mean, as a young athlete, the way that an older manager like Gareth Southgate of the England team gives me hope that good can conquer evil, you know, can conquer all, can prevail, because he's a good guy, a good lad who's understands.
And I saw Dina Asher-Smith lent her support as well to Emma Raducanu today. These are good people, and gosh, it would be nice if more people reacted with that compassion and understanding. And but, you know, there does always seem to be a day of Wimbledon where Piers Morgan and his cronies weigh in with some awful offensive take at the sight of somebody showing something other than a positive emotion on court. And I think you're right, Catherine. I think, you know, the tide is turning and those days are ending where, you know, hopefully more people in future will be reacting like Marcus Rashford and Dino Asher-Smith and Emma Raducanu. Those will be the people leading the way in the not too distant future.
Mm, yeah, absolutely.
I'm glad to hear Raducanu is okay and all the best to her.
Yeah.
Great run.
Absolutely. We had today Hubert Hurkacz, David, beating the second seed, Daniil Medvedev, to make his way through to tomorrow's men's quarterfinals. I think you were covering that match.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting this turnaround. I really wasn't. I mean, Medvedev was leading 2-1. He was 4-3 down overnight. I thought that Medvedev would probably get the job done in four, but I have to say, when I was covering that match with Annabel Croft, and during the knock-up to the match, she just said to me, Hurkacz is winning this knock-up. And she had spotted that he was more in control of the balls he was hitting and looser. He hit a sort of front-facing through-the-leg shot during the knock-up.
And that then, is not the sort of move I associate with Hubert Hurkacz.
No. And he immediately broke the serve of Daniil Medvedev and closed out the set.
And that was something he didn't do in the entire first 3.5 sets.
Is that right?
He hadn't broken Medvedev's serve, and then he broke him certainly straight away, and then very early in the fifth set as well. I thought Hurkacz was brilliant in the however long they played today, hour or so, and he came to the net very effectively and timed those approaches well. I thought Medvedev was pretty dreadful.
I agree. It's the worst of Medvedev, in a way, that was. He became instantly grouchy. That dark side of his came over him. And not the funny...
But not the fun...
Not the sort of entertain. It was the kind of dark cloud where he's going to look for something to blame afterwards. And I think he gave a pretty decent press conference, like he got out of it. But his approach on court was he took the hiding he was being given. And he tried. I'm not saying he didn't try. He did try. But Hurkacz just took it away. And one of the things he took it away from with him was net play. He approached the net 70 times in that match.
Wow. Yeah, he's... Well, we saw what he could do in Miami, and we haven't seen it since. And it's nice to see him rediscover that form. You mentioned Medvedev's press conference. He was at a bit of a loss, really, to explain that performance today. I think he was reasonably happy with how he was playing yesterday. There was a lot of talk about whether the players had been given the chance to finish their match last night on centre court after Federer had finished under the closed roof, and Medvedev clarified that situation and said, we were told by the referee that we would be coming back tomorrow to finish off, and both of us were fine with that decision, so there was never any discussion about finishing it last night. But he was annoyed. He said, when you're second in the world, fourth round is a bad result. And, you know,
I like that.
I do too. I think, you know, he knew that was a bad performance today, and it's just good, an inexplicable one.
He was good though, Hurkacz. I mean, like you relayed the run he'd been on, the terrible run he'd been on recently. But I still think back to us confusing him with Ugo Humbert, and then realizing that he's the guy who won that set from Djokovic a couple of years ago.
Yeah, that's true.
He's dangerous.
Will he approach the net with gay abandon against Roger Federer tomorrow?
I kind of assume he will, because he's 6'5", he's got this wingspan. I tell you, I do think that will play into Federer's hands.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think...
Well,
Yeah. I mean, he said, I don't know whether he was trying to spin it this way, and, you know, it's absolutely what you should do. You should play these sort of mind games with yourself. But he felt like having a bit of a centre court experience today will help him.
I would agree with
going
that.
Going into facing Federer in
short
a quarterfinal.
Short clutch at whatever straws you can.
I got to say, indeed. I think Federer's as my instinct at this point is that this is a good result for Roger Federer. Mm. I don't think he would have enjoyed playing Daniel Medvedev.
No, I agree.
Yeah. Yeah, be interesting though. Be interesting. Before that, Djokovic against Fucsovics, will that be interesting?
Well, I was previewing it just now on 5 Live and looking up the record, and Fucsovics has taken a set from him in both matches that they've played. And they're recent, 2018 and 2019, one of them was at a Grand Slam, to level at one set all at the US Open. Fucsovics, he's chiselled out of stone, that guy, and he will keep on coming. And I think, look, I still don't think it'll be enough. I mean, Djokovic is on this mission. I don't see how anybody is going to end up stopping Novak Djokovic. But it can happen. It can happen. And Fucsovics, I think, will bring everything he's got. I think he'll be fresh enough. I think he'll play well. And I think he'll put a good account of himself up. I just doubt it'll be enough to win.
Yeah. 3 or 4 sets to Djokovic.
Yeah. Khachanov against Shapovalov.
The other two, the 2-court 1 matches are the most interesting.
They yeah, they are. It's Khachanov Shapovalov at 1 PM, followed by Berrettini, Auger, and Aliassime. Mm.
I'm assuming Shapovalov and Berrettini win. What do you think?
Well, it was Shapovalov's quarter. Yeah, I mean, I had Berrettini in my semi-finals at the start of the tournament, but I hadn't, you know, that I was factoring in Auger Aliassime that we'd been seeing pre-Wimbledon. This does feel like his moment. If you'd showed me that draw pre-tournament, I'd have said, yeah, Berrettini, but I do just feel less sure about it.
Should Felix Auger Aliassime change something? I just wonder whether, I kind of feel like the way you beat Berrettini is by handcuffing him with depth. I don't think if you try and out-hit him, I don't see how that
sure
works.
That is Auger Aliassime's game, though. I don't, yeah. I'm not sure.
I think I always used to think that was Auger Aliassime's game.
Me too.
I think when he came through, there were a lot of comparisons with Djokovic, for example. Yeah. But the more we've got to know him as a player, the more we've realised, actually, he's really aggressive and likes
and
to finish points.
And this tournament in particular, the thing that's got him here is to be hugely aggressive. Not that he can't rally, but...
But it's seek and destroy tennis,
yeah,
is what he's
absolutely.
Been playing.
Exactly.
It's eye of the tiger stuff.
That's an interesting point, David. I hadn't thought about the matchup
could
in that
way. Could he
rein
it in just a bit just try and be consistent?
I mean,
put it on that
Berrettini's serve is a bigger weapon than Auger Aliassime's, than pretty much anybody else in the draw. The forehand, they're pretty equal. Berrettini probably has a few extra miles per hour. But
more reliable as well.
They're huge weapons. Backhand, Felix probably has it. Doesn't have as much. Berrettini's really developed the slice. But I don't know, I think that could be quite tight,
I think
actually.
We're getting tie breaks.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it could be, as much as anything, about how they handle facing each other. I mean, they are really good friends. And that,
are they?
That
yeah.
can make for awkward
they,
matches.
So, Felix Auger Aliassime's girlfriend is the cousin of Matteo Berrettini's girlfriend.
Oh.
Exactly. Ayla
Tomljanović.
By the way, Berrettini supporting Tomljanović today. In the box.
It's
and
the
he
best
was
thing.
Going Ooh. Through it.
And while we're on that subject, Berrettini has had some lovely, lovely things to say about his forerunners in Italian tennis, all of whom, sort of the most recent generation, have been women. This also from Reem Abalil, who we're quite often quoting in her work. She said he was talking about Flavia Panetta, Roberta Vinci, Sara Errani and Francesca Schiavone. He said they helped us being this generation of young Italian men. They helped us by showing us everything is possible. They showed us that 4 players of the same generation, they were top 7, I think, they showed us the things that they achieved, we could think about achieving them too.
Oh.
and I love it.
It's fantastic. Mm. I don't know him, but he, everything I see of him, he seems like good people to me.
Mm. Mm. He does. And Felix is good. It's just, it's a good people match.
It is. It yeah. is. It really is.
Good luck to them both. Shame there has to be a loser and all of that jazz. Nobody's answered my Hatchinov-Shapovalov question.
What? Who's going to win?
Yeah.
I'm going to go Shapovalov.
I'm going to go with Shapovalov. I'm a Shapovalov believer this tournament.
Yeah, because okay. you call yourself a believer, don't you, if you're like Justin Bieber. So what?
You did 10 years ago, what, yep.
What can you be for...
Where are we going with this, David?
Well, what can you be for a Denis Shapovalov? I want to know if there's got to be one of those.
You've got like a Tsitsipal.
That's what Tsitsipas fans call themselves.
It's so limp, that, isn't it?
I like it.
We'll work on it. Submissions at Tennis Podcast. What do you want to call yourself if you're a Shapovalov believer?
Yeah.
TBC. But I'm sure we will get some ropey suggestions. Please.
I believe in our listeners.
Yep. Me too. Me too.
Maybe we should get Hannah on it.
Yes, we'll get Hannah on it. She loves a punt. Honestly, she's been amazing today. Absolutely brilliant. So get following us on Twitter, newsletter, Instagram, all of that. I'm really reluctant to have to mention our mascots, but we have them. Let's not talk about how we're performing for them. I've got Zeus. David's got Rogue.
Yeah, at least they're lovely.
Yeah. Matt's got Scousal Mousal. Mocha continues to also be lovely. Hello, lovely Mocha. Chris Albert Lee, our executive producer, continues to be a lovely bloke. I don't know when he'll stop being a top bloke, but...
He won't.
Right, yeah. We have shout-outs, Matt. Who are they for?
For Andy Thorpe.
Right, Andy.
Hello, Andy. Like Thorpe Park.
Indeed.
Good times I've had at Thorpe Park.
Like Andy Murray.
That too. Hello, Andy. Thanks for your support.
Sean Frost.
Oh, David Frost.
Shaun of the Dead. It's a film, isn't it? Different spelling.
Different spelling, I think.
Sean seems nice from what I've seen of him on Twitter. And he's a top bloke for following us and backing us. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Sean.
And Claudette Spahn.
Oh, well,
imagine being called Claudette.
We don't even need a comparison for that. We just need to...
There aren't any.
Just say it again, Matt.
Claudette Spahn, which I'm not sure on the surname pronunciation there. So feel free to get in touch if I've got it wrong.
Sounds magnificent.
Thank you very much, all of you, for all of your support. We very much appreciate it. We'll be back. How many more of these have we got? 5 more daily tennis podcasts from Wimbledon 2021. I have promised you a thriller on Thursday, and I'm sure there'll be thrillers before and after that as well. But we're guaranteed one now, at least, that I have completely jinxed that matchup. We're loving it. We're loving this Wimbledon. Thank you for listening. Thank you for coming on the Wimbledon journey with us. We'll be back again tomorrow.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.